read these verses together again. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Preach!
You feel anything on that message? Think that's flesh? Yeah, she says that's flesh. For the let's read that again. That's more amens than I got in the whole service this morning. Did he say amen this morning? Yes, sir. Not for me. Okay. All right, let's try this again. I'm not against that, Brother Silas. Maybe I wanted to hear it again. That may be the reason I want to read that. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
Amen.
For the husband is the head of the wife, even as. Notice that statement, right. Even as. Showing parallel, showing a portrait. That the husband and wife relationship should be a living earthly portrait.
That's right.
A symbol, an example, a similarity of what Christ did in his relationship with the church. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body.
Amen.
Therefore, as the church, notice the emphasis down through here on the term the church. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church.
Yes.
And gave himself for it.
That's right.
I thought I'd pause right there and give the ladies an opportunity to say amen. Might want to read that again just for so we have equality. You know, we got to have equality. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it.
Amen.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Amen.
I am not going to comment on that. Say amen on that verse. But Tim, that's an admittance.
Amen.
Amen. I read a verse about being sanctified and cleansed by the washing of water by the word. She says, amen.
Yeah.
The altar's down here, says.
Yeah.
Amen. That verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church.
Amen.
That's what God wants out of RBT.
Amen.
That's his intent for the whole church. But that's what he wants out of our local church. Is that it be a glorious church. And a good definition just off the top of my head of a glorious church would be a church where his glory's at.
Oh yeah.
Right. Amen. I think that'd be a good thing, don't you? That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Yes.
I don't think in light of that verse you should ever get mad at a preacher for preaching on sin when you look at that verse.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I believe that. That's right, because that's what he's doing. He's wanting to clean up his church. He's wanting it to be without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing.
Right. Yes.
Or any such thing, but that it should be holy.
Yes. Amen.
The world's not holy.
That's right.
In fact, you can't hardly find nothing on this earth that's holy.
That's right.
If it's of this world, it's got the defilement of the God of this world, and it's not holy. You can't be holy and hold hands with the world.
That's right.
You just can't do
Amen.
It. Amen. And that's why we need to have that cleansing in verse 26 and 27 by the word of God. You remember when back when we was on this series, you remember back when we were on it, we made the statement that positionally the blood cleanses us. I'm cleansed from my sin positionally by the blood of Christ. But the blood of Jesus Christ is not what cleanses me practically. The word is what cleanses me practically.
Amen.
Sanctify them. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true.
Amen.
Amen. And we're to get that cleansing, that washing by the water of the word. You know what some of you need? Same thing I need.
Yes.
We need a water bath. We need a bath.
Yes.
Right.
We need a bath. Amen.
That's right.
Some of you would be in terrible shape tonight if you didn't take a if you took a physical bath as often as you take a spiritual bath.
Yeah.
Mom.
Some of you would be stinking.
Right.
I'm talking Rogersville stinking.
Yeah.
Stank. You'd be stinking. Yes. Amen. Take a bath physically every day. Why? You don't want to stink. It's good. Soap's cheap. Water's fairly cheap.
Yeah.
Amen. There's nothing wrong with being clean. Amen.
Right.
That's right. And, but if we had a spiritual bath, you know, hey, how much more would that help us? Soap and water in the bathtub don't get into your spirit and your heart and your attitude. That's right. You need to get in contact with the washing of the water by the word and be cleansed in that fashion. Well, anyway, let's go on. Verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You're not ready to leave until you're ready to cleave. That's what Brother Stenick Blue says, and that's good. Amen.
Yes.
That's right. You don't leave because you're rebelling against mom and dad. That's wrong. That's not Bible.
Right.
You leave when you're ready to cleave and be joined and be and two become one. Didn't get too many amens right there, but that's right.
Amen.
Verse 32, this is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for being, dear God, what we need. Help us to be what you need. Lord, forgive us and cleanse us, God, from every sin. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive, Lord, to the Spirit of God. Lord, what you do, we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Ephesians chapter number 5, starting with verse 18. Actually, the context starts verse 18 and goes right on through even into chapter 6, verse number 9. We have the thought of being filled with the Spirit. In other words, I would say that the wives, if they'd be filled with the Spirit, it sure help a lot in the home.
Right.
If the husbands would be filled with the Spirit, it sure help a lot in the home.
Right.
I don't believe that it'd be possible, in light of what is wrote about the husbands and the wives, for that to come about and be in practice in your life from your heart unless you were filled with the Spirit. Amen. I believe that you can see it very clearly in this passage that God intends for the husband and wife relationship to be a spiritual thing.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. I mean, it's to be a spiritual thing, one to the other.
Yeah.
I believe there's some spiritual things that you would get from your mate that you won't get yourself.
That's right.
I believe that God intended it and set it up that way.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Be filled with the Spirit would help you with your submission. Amen, ladies. And help us with our love to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But anyway, verse number 25, the Bible said that it referenced husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm preaching on I love the church. I love the church. It's been a little while since we've been on it. And if you'll notice with me, just because I call it a series, it can stop at any time.
Yes.
Amen. I don't just hang on to it just because it's there. If God gets off of it, I'm done with it.
Yes.
If it's right in the middle of it or whatever, I'm done with it.
Amen.
Remember we preached several messages on discouragement, and I had some more to go. And it seemed like one just said, I don't know. Everybody got encouraged or what? Amen. But we may pick that up at a later time. I don't know. That makes it a little more difficult. But anyway, verse 25 talks about Christ loving the church. You say, preacher, there's all kinds of negative things wrong with the church. Christ loved the church.
Amen.
Christ loved the church. Amen. And I praise God for being a part of the church. I'm glad I'm in church tonight. Amen. Amen. I pray for everyone that laid out and watched. I hope their team loses.
Yeah.
More than likely, that'd mean both teams would have to lose. It'd be the first time in Super Bowl history that both teams lost.
Yeah.
Amen. That could happen. God could let it happen. Amen. Anyway, it don't make no difference to me one way or the other. Amen, Brother J.R.? I'm where I want to be tonight.
Amen.
Hey, hello. I'm not here mad either. I'm not here with a poochie lip. I'm not here wishing I was somewhere else. I'm here because I want to be here. I'm glad to be here, Brother Obie. Thank God I'm identified with the church. I love the church. By the way, has that outfit ever done anything for you? Tell me. I want to know it. Has the NFL or any of them other L's ever done anything for you? Nothing. He never done nothing for you. But oh, look at the help that's been given through the church, by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. Thank God. Look at the times you come in the house of God dragging. The times that you come in the church discouraged. The time you come in the church spiritually wounded and needed some help. And God, through the song or preaching or testifying or Sunday school or whatever, met with you and ministered to you and helped you. The world is not going to do that. No, sir, buddy. There's nothing like the church on planet Earth. Thank God for the church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Felt something on that. Boy, I'm glad I'm in the church, and I love it. I love it, and I'm going to stand for it.
Yes.
Amen. If you love it, you'll stand for it.
That's right.
Amen. If you love it, you'll live for it. You'll want to cast a good light on it if you love the church. Amen.
Yes,
sir. Amen. You'll want to live in such a manner as to say amen to what's preached at the house of God. I believe that with all my heart. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. But anyway, we've talked about, the first thing we looked at was I love the meaning of the church. We went in, Tyler, the definition of the word and looked what it meant. When I looked at it and got it all out and studied it out, you know what I said? I like the meaning of that.
Amen.
I love the meaning of the church. That is, that called out assembly. That called out congregation. I'm glad. Listen, by the way, that's the only way you can get out. Did you know that? That's the only way you can get out of a life of sin and out from the condemnation and control of sin is to be called out.
Right.
Yes. Amen. To be called out. To be called by name, to name. I like that. Does the meaning of the church mean something to you? I'm that called out crowd. Amen. Identify me with that. But the second point I want to deal with tonight is that I love the master of the church. I love the meaning of the church, but I also love the master of the church. And we know who that is, verse 25. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You're reminded of the first mention of church in Matthew 16. The Bible said that upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You remember that?
Yeah.
That's the first mention of the word church in the New Testament is in that verse. What do we learn from that? First mention. Everybody knows what first mention is? First mention is when you look in the Bible and you find where it's mentioned first, it's used first, that's a seedbed, and it'll carry that meaning, it'll carry that usage throughout the scripture. Well, what do you find at the first mention? When Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, you notice who the owner is when you read that verse. Amen? He said, I'm going to build my church. We know who the owner is. Hallelujah, that's right. Amen. Amen. We know about the opposition of the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. There's going to be warfare that's going to come against the church. And I tell you what we need. We need all the soldiers on board. We need all the soldiers. Amen. Spiritual soldiers. All of God's people are soldiers. We need everybody, as Brother Mike said the other night, reporting for you.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we need. Amen. We're in a warfare, and we need those of all of God's people on board. Amen. But I love the master pillar of the church. We know that's Jesus. We know that's Jesus. Do you love Jesus? Not everybody that goes to church loves Jesus.
Right.
Amen. They may say they do, but do you? Bible said, if you love me, you keep my commandments.
Right.
Amen. If you love the Lord, it will show up in your life.
Right.
It'll show up in your attitude. It'll show up on your, assures your name is what it is about this, about loving the master of the church. And I just want it to be on record that the preacher is not the master of the church.
Amen.
Amen. I've tried to occupy that position a few times, and that didn't help. Amen. That didn't work. Amen. But I'll tell you, the preacher and deacons and the women's auxiliary group is not the master of the church. Thank God for being an independent Baptist church. Amen. That's right. We believe in the autonomy of the church. We believe in the self-governing of the church. Amen. Did you know there are, did you know there are denominations that don't even really vote on their pastor? Their pastors are placed and moved by the organizational head. That can't be right. That's not the will of God. Amen. That's not the will of God. No, sir. But anyway, praise God. I love the master of the church, and I know who it is. Several years ago, the news headlines was filled with the subject, and this was what was said. The church is without a head. When the Pope died several years ago, not this last one, several years ago, the headlines read, the church is without a head. Well, I got news for you. The church in Rome probably was without a head.
Right.
But not the church of Jesus Christ. It's not without a head. It never will be without a head. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Amen. That's right. He don't need a vicar. He doesn't need a Vatican. He doesn't need none of that. Amen. He's doing just fine.
Amen.
Amen. He doesn't need Cardinals and Blue Jays, amen, offering up smoke, try to figure out what's going on. No, sir, buddy. No, sir. God's in control. He's got a church, and it's in motion, and it will be brought to pass. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be in. Well, I want to show you some things in the Bible. I won't get through probably tonight, but I want to show you some things in the book of Matthew. If you'll turn back there, we're just going to kind of look at a few places in Matthew. And I've been wanting to preach out of the book of Matthew anyway on Jesus, the master of messes. Not the master of causing messes, but the master of confronting and fixing messes.
Right.
And I'm looking at several in here, including myself, a man that was a mess when he found me.
Right.
Amen. And I'm glad he knows how to deal with messes. Amen. Let's look at a few things. First of all, let's turn to Matthew 6 and verse number 24. And we're talking about, I love the master of the church. Now, what I'm preaching tonight won't mean nothing much to you if he's not your master.
Right.
If Christ is not your master, not just in title, but in position and authority.
Right.
If he's not your master, then you don't love him. If he's your master, it's because you love him.
Right.
Let's look at chapter 6 of Matthew's gospel. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Matthew 6, verse 24. Very familiar verse of scripture. Notice what the Bible says. No man can serve two masters. No man can serve two masters. Why? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Listen to this emphatic, dogmatic statement. You cannot serve God and mammon. Are you listening? You cannot serve God and mammon. Everybody know what mammon is? What is it? Money. Wealth, prosperity. How many people in this building tonight that wealth and prosperity and money and what I can get a hold of and is got a bigger control on your attitude than Jesus does.
Right.
Say amen right there. But the Bible says that no man can serve. The emphasis is on the word serve. It didn't say no man can have two masters. It just said no man can serve two masters. See, it's implied in this verse of Scripture. By the way, my first point is the picking of your master. Amen. Jesus has got to be put in that position in your life. He don't just occupy that position of master in your life, forcefully. You've got to pick him. No man can serve two masters. So in other words, you're going to have to choose one.
Right.
And also it's implied that you're going to have to reject the rest.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not any, many, mighty, mo. And it's not, I'm going to take this one and this one and this one and not that one and this one and that one and not that one. No. You can only have one master in your life. And there'll always be a competition to try to remove that master from his position and to insert a new master.
Yeah. Right.
I tell you what master used to sit on my throne. Flesh. Self. The old man. I live for myself. Amen. You did too. Amen. And the God of this world used to occupy that position. But there is the picking of the master. Have you been there? Have you been there in your life to where you were brought to a place where that you picked Christ as your master? Picked one and rejected the others? Is there ever a time in your life that you said, Lord, I want you? You're my master, my only solitary master. I have no other masters. I can't serve two masters. I'm not going to try to serve two masters. I'm going to have one. I believe it's important if you're going to love the master of the church, he's got to occupy that solitary position of being the only master in your life. And I'll be honest with you, and you know it's true. The problem with most churches today is they've got too many masters.
Right.
People in the church has got too many masters. Amen. They've got financial masters and they've got materialistic masters and they're just being controlled from every angle except the upward angle. Amen. They're being controlled. They're not, you know, we believe in the free will, but I tell you what most people are. They're just being manipulated by masters. They're being manipulated by masters in their life, how they feel, what they do, where they go, what they wear, who they run with. All of that's being determined by the different and various masters in their life. I want to tell you what God wants us to do. God wants us to just say, hey, I've got one master. I'm a one master man.
Amen.
Is there anybody in here like that? I'm a one master individual. I'm a one master Christian. I'm a one master woman. I'm a one master man. I'm a one master young person. I only have one Lord. I only have one master in my life.
Amen.
And I want to love him and serve him and live for him.
Amen.
I mean, affections is tied to that, Brother Silas. Did y'all see that?
Amen.
Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. Why? Look at it. For either he will hate the one and love the other.
Right.
Amen. If you have two masters, then your love is going to be divided. Your devotion is going to be divided. Your faithfulness to the one is going to be divided and be given a portion of it to another. That's why Jesus is not going to share you. He's not going to share his position as master in your life. It's because he wants you to love him with all of your heart.
Amen.
And deserves that.
Yes.
Amen. It bothers him. You know it does. It bothers the Lord when he sees his children that he purchased, that he died for, when he sees them giving their love to other things and to other people and to whatnot. Amen? Serious to the Lord. In fact, in Luke chapter number, what is it, Luke 14, he was dealing with that crowd that had their belly full, just got fed. A big, great multitude followed him, Brother Tim. And Jesus dealt with them and he said, except a man hate father and mother and brother and sister, wife, and children, yea, even his own self also, he cannot be my disciple. That's not saying, you've heard me preach on and explain, that's dealt with in comparative language. That's not saying you've got to hate your mama to love God, to serve God. Amen. It's not saying you've got to hate any of that list. Wife, husband, children, none of that. Amen. It's not saying that. It's just saying that you ought to love the Lord so supremely. You ought to love Him so superiorly that when you compare your love for the Lord to your love for your family, that it ought to appear that you hate. And sometimes they even may accuse you of hating them because you love the Lord supremely.
Yeah.
Amen? Boy, you don't love me. No, it's not that. It's that we love Jesus more.
Right.
That's what it is.
Amen?
That's right. Amen. Because if you love something or someone more than you do Jesus, that person is going to be the master in your life. Amen. And you young people, listen, you young people that's getting to that age where you're interested in, a mate possibly in the future. Hey, if you let them in to your heart to the point that they control you, they have moved Christ aside.
That's right.
And it'll never be in your whole life the will of God for a boyfriend or a girlfriend to push Jesus aside in your life. You say, preacher, why are you preaching that? Because I've saw hundreds, I believe I could say, in 31 years I've saw hundreds of boys and girls, my friend, their spiritual life went down the drain when romance come into the picture.
Right.
Amen. But if you'll let Jesus be the pick,
amen.
Amen. Amen. And don't ever want to marry anybody that you're going to have to carry them spiritually. They don't have a spiritual life, and you're the one that's going to have to carry them. No person can be spiritual enough for two people.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
If they don't have their own spiritual life, they won't be able to keep you straight. Because when you want, listen, everybody has up and down moments. Everybody has weak, strong moments. And amen, you need to go with somebody. You need to have somebody that you're considering that are full of the Holy Ghost, amen, full of the Word of God, that has picked Christ to be their master. Why? So that when you get weak, you can draw strength from it.
That's right.
Amen. You're going with someone that's weak. Probably they probably got a wicked streak too in them. And when you have a weak time, you both are going to fall. Both fall in the ditch. Amen? That's right. That's good preaching right there. May you young girls pick Christ to be your master and never compromise that. Never compromise that. If a boy don't like you to be governed by the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures, they're not a candidate. Move on down the road, Jack. See ya. Amen. Don't let the door hit you.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. I'm even getting militant about it.
Right.
Amen. Don't even call me.
Amen.
Don't even call me.
Yeah.
Hey, don't even call me. Tell them, don't even call me.
Right.
If you don't love Jesus and He's not the pick and master of your life, and you should be able to detect that.
Amen.
I don't have to be around somebody too long till I can find out if Jesus is just an object or if He's a master.
Amen.
Because in this verse, if He's your master, you're going to love Him and you're going to serve Him. If they're not serving Him, they don't love Him.
Right. Amen. Right.
Amen. When you get married, you need all the help you can get. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Say amen right there. You man needs a wife that has Jesus as their master because you won't be able to control it.
Right.
Right. Amen. Say amen, brother Matt. I think you're doing a good job. You and Jesus, the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm just kidding, Shane. Amen. You need Jesus in their life. You can't be around them 24/7. You can't be around them 24/7. You need Jesus to keep them straight when nobody's looking.
Right.
And right? That's good, eh, girls? Amen. They catch it. I spit all over them. They said, preacher, you just spitting all over us. I said, that won't hurt you none. There's a man that come to me and I said, preacher, you spit all over me. And I said, I rubbed on it. I said, it won't hurt you. I said, that's that Holy Ghost slobber. If they'd kill anybody, it's Brother Sammy Allen would have killed him. Several hundred thousand people. Amen. They told me that one time I got in your face and there's a little bit got on your nose and you just wanted to wipe it off and you just waited till I moved on. Hey, that won't hurt you, amen. Amen. It'd be good. God get on me. I'd throw a little bit plumb to the back of my way. Everybody needs a little preacher spin on them. Amen. It won't hurt you.
Amen.
Amen. But oh, God, help us. We need a revival of people that will pick Christ.
Amen.
Say, I want Him. I choose Him. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, after 31 years, I without hesitation say publicly, on record, I still choose Christ.
Amen.
As my master.
Yes.
I love my master. Desire to serve Him. Oh, glory to God. If Jesus has not mastered you, then what I'm preaching at this point is not, it will be meaningless. So I'm afraid to let Him master me. Why? What are you afraid of? I know there's people that will not go all the way with God because they're afraid. They will not surrender all the way to God. They will not submit all the way to God. Why? They're afraid. They're afraid of what God might ask. They're afraid of where He might steer them. They're afraid. Hey, you can trust Him to save you, but you can't trust Him to steer you. You can trust Him with your deliverance, but you can't trust Him with your decision. Do you think that if you give Him the choice in your life for your mate, that He's going to put one in your life that's going to be a bad deal? And me and my wife talked about this, buddy. Used to, you could go off of the standard. Well, they was raised in church. Hey, I'm going to tell you, friend, you hear me, that means nothing now.
Amen. That's right.
Are you listening? Brother Tim, we were talking about it the other night. A young girl that was raised, I'm talking about raised as clean and godly as could be, married a preacher's son. Don't we find out that after marriage, that he was a homo. Hello? Just because they're kin to somebody in church or they went to a church, listen, that ought to carry a little bit of weight. Don't ever think, well, preacher, if that's the case, I'm just going to go down to the gym joint and buy me one. It's better to go to church and get one, and amen, than it is, and it might be that they're all right.
Yeah.
Than to go down there to that crowd, no, they're not all right.
Right.
They're certainly not down there praying.
Right.
No, I guarantee it. Amen. Go to the house of God, but just don't. Don't let the first one with hair on their head come by and sweet y'all give me.
Amen.
Make them prove themselves.
Amen.
I'm talking about before you give them your number.
Amen.
Make them prove themselves. Amen. I mean, look for angel wings.
Yeah. Right.
Praise God is right.
Amen.
So I know what some of you are thinking. You're saying, preacher, the way you preach, ain't none of us ever going to get married. Hey, that's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right. It's better to not be married and wish you were than to be married and wish you wasn't. It's better to not have one and wish you had one than to have one and wish you didn't have one.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And by the way, listen, I know that what I'm about to say, not why I'm on this. I know that there are some occasions where they love at first sight, and 2, 3, 6 months is married. Anybody like that? There's all people in here, Bubba and the crab legs. Oh, no wonder, bro.
Everybody's a big player.
What? How long did y'all before you?
6 months.
Oh, we've got three then.
Three.
4 months, and it's, let's see, that was back when, you know, their word was their bond. That was back when the, hey man, about everybody had some decency then. Oh, you can't trust that man. You can't trust that man. Hey man. I'm telling you, you young girls, you ought to just about want God to speak audibly to you from heaven. This is the one. Amen. I could help you try to pick some. I could give you some things to look for and not to look for.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. And probably make some of you, probably not you, but if I was preaching somewhere else, it'd probably make them about half mad.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But that's a different message. I'm preaching on master. You're to let Jesus be your master. You're to pick him. Have you ever picked him? Is he your master? Hey, let me ask you something. Lord knows, God, help me. I meant to done be all way on down through here by now, Brother Goins. But listen, does Jesus have any competitors in your life? Does he have any competition in your life? Does that little green stuff in your billfold, is he competing with Jesus? Well, by the way, I just thought I'd let you know that just because people call him master doesn't mean that he is. Judas called Jesus master in Matthew 26, verse 25 and 29. And verse 29, he called him master and kissed him. But it wasn't the kiss of devotion, it was the kiss of betrayal. Amen? A lot more people betrayed Jesus with a kiss than they have with a slap. The picking of the master. Let me move on. Let me deal with something else. Halftime will be up in a minute. No, I'm just kidding. Woo! Some of you say, preach.
Yeah.
We hope the service tonight goes in overtime, is what somebody I thought said. The picking of the master. Number two. Let's flip a few pages. Let's go to chapter number 8 of Matthew. Matthew 8 and verse 19. Matthew 8 and verse number 19. Let's look at this. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Oh, mercy. What would happen in our church if we had that attitude? Of course, we know by Jesus' response that this man had false motives. Probably thinking, well, if I follow Jesus, I'll have my ever-present hospital, my ever-present food store, whatever I need, he's it, you know. And Jesus told him, verse 20, Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. You're following me for money. You're following me for gain. Hey, I want you to know I don't even have a place to call home. He was born in a borrowed barn, amen. Rode into town on a borrowed donkey. Died on somebody else's cross. Buried in a borrowed tomb. He didn't have nothing, but he didn't come down here to have it. He come down here to purchase it. The only thing he ever bought was the church. Hallelujah. Thank God. Here we find not only the picking of the master, but there is, and I love that. I love the picking of the master. Amen. Also, I love the path of the master. Here's a man using the term master, but he's talking about, I'm going to follow you. In other words, if Jesus Christ is your master, you are following him.
Yeah.
If you're not following him, it's because you have another master in your life.
Right.
That's right, isn't it?
Amen.
Master. The path of the Master. And you can just write this down. I'm going to go on. But you can write this down just by looking at that statement right there, that Him being your Master, first of all, is willful.
Yeah.
Here's a man of his own will coming up and saying, Lord, Master, I'll follow Thee. It's a willful. It's not a forced issue. If you're waiting on Jesus to hem you up in the corner and put the pressure on you for Him to be your Master, you'll wait till you die.
That's right.
That'll not happen. If what He's done on the cross and His advances toward you and His initiative toward you, if that is not sufficient, hey, what else? Listen, what else needs to be done? If He made you and forced you to pick Him and to follow Him, guess what? You'd bail out the first valley you went through. First problem you went through, you'd bail out. It shows that it's willful. Secondly, it shows that it's submissive. I will follow Thee. That is, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to let You pick the course. I'm going to let You choose the turns. I'm going to let You be the one in charge. So it's willful and it's submissive. Thirdly, it is your identity. Following one shows everybody who your Master is. It's your identity. It's also, it shows when you say that I will follow Thee, we're talking about the path of the Master. Following Him. Let Him lead. Let Him be Lord. Let Him teach. We be a disciple, which means we're a learner, and He's teaching us. Amen. Are you teachable? Are you teachable? Jesus will never be your Master if He can't teach you.
That's right.
Amen. But also you'll be moldable. Follow means many times to copy or to imitate. If you're following Jesus as your Master in His path, He's molding you. He's molding you. He's conforming you. You're moldable and pliable clay in His hands. Also, this verse shows us that to follow Christ is unconditional. Whithersoever thou goest. Unconditional. Lord, it don't matter. Where you go, I'm going.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
So it's unconditional. It shows by that word whithersoever, it denotes indefiniteness. Uncertainty, no specifics, no details, no contracts given. Unconditional. Amen? The path of the Master. Are you following Him? He needs people to follow Him in this day. And God is working that in some. Amen. God has worked that in some of our church before, Brother J.R., but I'm seeing some now coming on. You know that God is working that in, and they're making choices that will turn them from self and sin and flesh and turn them to where Christ is their focus and Christ is their pick and Christ is their Master. Amen. You won't regret it. You may not climb the ladders of success and recognition in this world, but you won't regret it because come to the end of your life, God will have used you.
Amen.
For His glory.
Amen.
Thirdly, I got to hurry. Number three, look at Matthew 9:11. Can I say I love the Master of the church? I love the picking. I love Him. That's the reason I picked Him. I love Him. He's solitarily my Master. And I need to make sure there's no competitors and no competition in my life.
Right.
That's why He says in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Why? Because when you start loving things, it's pulling devotion and affection away from Him.
Right.
Amen. All right, here we go. The third one is Matthew 9:11. Everybody there?
Yeah.
Matthew 9:11, we've talked about the picking of the Master. We've talked about the path of the Master. Here I want to talk about the passion of the Master. And I do love that. Look at 9:11 of Matthew. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your Master with publicans and sinners? Your Master. Can people refer to Jesus in that fashion when they're talking? talking about you, your master. Your master.
Amen.
It wasn't their master. But it was your master. And they noticed something about him, Brother Silas. They said he's eating. I like that part.
Yeah.
With publicans and sinners. Oh, yes. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about God manifesting the flesh and who it was he was eating with. What's that rejected crowd? That religious crowd, Pharisees and scribes, wouldn't have nothing to do with publicans and sinners. But Jesus, his passion, I love his thinking. Amen. I love his path and I love his passion. I'm glad that he loves sinners. I'm glad for his condescension.
Amen.
I'm glad that Christ, and I thought about the verse there in 2 Corinthians 5, for he who knew no sin, yet became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank God for condescension.
Yeah.
I thought about also Zacchaeus, an old publican, tax collector, bad reputation. No doubt everybody hated him. Amen? But guess what? Jesus come through Jericho, come to the right tree, looked at the right limb, called out the right name, got personal, and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste and come down. For who's I? The Master, God manifest in the flesh. For I must abide at thy house.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
He made haste and come down and received him joyfully. And guess what that crowd said? He's gone to be guest with a man that's a sinner. Thank God for the passion of the Master.
Man.
A lot of the masters that you or some may have of this world, they care nothing about you.
Right.
Amen. They care nothing about you. You can't get them on the phone. Amen. You can try. You can try to call them. They won't call you back. All they want you to do is buy their CDs and fund their life of sin.
Right.
That's all they want. They don't care nothing about you. I'm talking about some of the masters of this world.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is one that has a love for the lowly. Oh, thank God for his condescension and the fact that he has passion and compassion for sinners. I love that about the Master. Let's move on. Chapter 10 of Matthew. I was going to quote some more verses. But let's look at Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Matthew chapter number 10, verse 24 and 25. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? I call this one, Brother Mark, we've looked at the picking of the master and the path of the master and the passion of the master. But here I want to talk about the pattern of the master. The Bible said that it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master. That's God's will. That you and I, the follower, that we be brought into his conformity. The pattern. Or the persecution, if you want to add another one there. If they call him the master of the house, if they call him Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them that of his house? When Christ was here, he suffered, he was persecuted. But there's people everywhere today that claim to follow Christ, and they never go through nothing.
Right.
They never have nobody. Everybody likes them.
Right.
Everybody likes them. I can't quote exactly, but it's something along the lines of beware of that man that everybody speaks well of.
Right. Right.
Amen. If everybody, the whole town likes him, I wouldn't go there.
Right.
I wouldn't buy his books either.
Yeah.
That's right. The pattern or the persecution of the master. Let's move on to chapter 10, verse number 8 and 10. Chapter 10, verse 8 and 10. If I've got these verses right. Nope, don't believe I do. Chapter 10. Amen. Let me see if I can find that. That was a good one. I probably got the wrong chapter on that. Help us, Jesus. Anyway, it deals with the passage of Scripture where it talks about call no man master. Anybody know where that's at? Call no man master. Where is that at? I read it today. Hallelujah. Well, looks like we're turning the message into a Bible study. Well, I don't know. Anyway, two verses, and I'm not sure I got the verses right, 8 and 10. But anyway, it talks about that not to call any man master. Don't call any man master, for there is one master. Where? 23:10. Well, I had chapter and verses wrong. I just see if y'all knew where it's at in the Bible. 23. Yeah, that's it. I had the verses right. Verse 8. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all your brethren. And then again in verse number 10. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Here we talk about last the preeminence of our master. Amen. We've already dealt with that somewhat on the picking of the master in that there should just be one. Here it explicitly says so. That Christ occupies that one master position. The preeminence of the master. The preeminence of the master. We're not to call no man master. You should never let no man master you. Amen. That's Christ's occupation. That's Christ's position. That's Christ's authority. Amen. I know that there are certain things, you know, where people are called master. And it violates Scripture. Violates Scripture. I was scheduled to preach a revival in Honeypath. Brother Carroll down next where y'all used to be down in that neighborhood. I'd never been to the church before. And I found out the pastor was a master mason. Are you listening? Well, I called it. And I prayed much about it before I called it. And we done had the meeting set up, done had it in everything. He'd come and heard me preach and all that. Well, I found that out. You know, in leadership. I mean, this is in leadership. And I called him. I said, is this so? And he said, yeah. He said, I'm a master. I said, how can you be that? How can you allow men to call you worshipful master? How can you allow that? Worship belongs to Christ. The Bible said, call no man master. There's only one master, which is the Lord. And boy, he got the back better. And we talked there. It never got heated or nothing. About 30 minutes. We talked about it. And I questioned him on it. He knew he wouldn't back up. Found out his church was a mess of that. And I said, well, let me just tell you what the Lord has told me already in prayer. I said, I've prayed about this much. And I said, I want to tell you what the Lord has pressed me in prayer over this. And I said, I'm going to put the cards on the table and you tell me what you want me to do. I said, I do know that when I come, I will deal with it. I said, I don't know how far, how much, how deep. But I said, if it was just in your church, I said, I probably wouldn't even mention it. But I said, it's in leadership, and God will never bypass the pastor to send revival to a church.
That's right.
I said, I'll deal with it. I said, now what do you want me to do? He said, well, since you put it that way, I don't believe it's the Lord's will for you to come. Amen. I didn't argue with him, because that would have been a mess. Amen. Call no man master. Amen. I'd like to know where to get that. Worshipful. Worshipful master. A master that's deserving of worship. Grand master. That is blasphemy. Amen. That's taking titles that goes to the Lord and putting them on men. That ain't right. In no camp and in no organization of no kind. Amen. It's religious. It's a religious organization. It's not, it is.
Right.
But anyway, I'm not going to get on that. But there's the preeminence of the master. Can I say I love the master of the church?
Amen.
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 And he is
Amen.
My master. Is he yours?
Amen.
Is he your master? Let's all stand up.